On episode 310, we discuss new and old hardware, RAM still going up, and GPUs delayed. What to do with massive game install sizes, Netflix buying WB games, Sega to use AI, Witcher 4, 5, and 6, and much more.
Welcome to the Extreme Gaming Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to Extreme Gaming Podcast, episode 310. I can talk straight. I'm GreyGamer25, and my friends over here are...
I'm Trev, as always. Hello, how we do?
And I am Miguel from Hell, as always.
Speak up, Hans. Get that microphone closer to you.
It's already in my mount, almost.
What have you made him do?
That is where it should be. Mine is only like 2 inches from it.
Yeah, but you have a bigger girt on your mic, so that's, yeah.
What?
Look at it. It's big.
Did you say something about girth?
Yeah, no, look at it.
That's just a hat. That's just a hat.
Okay, yeah. So
that's what it
cheating.
Looks like.
Okay, see? Yeah, I got it. It's cheating.
Hatless, it looks like that.
that's the same almost.
Anyway, we are back with our usual. We're already off on a tangent. We haven't even started, so that, you know, hey. But people love that shit stuff, so that's what we do. How you guys been? Everything been going okay? Weather, gaming, RAM?
Yeah. Wow. All crap.
Yeah. Everything really? Actually, no. Enjoying the 5090 life, so yeah.
Now, I don't know if you're looking at the notes, and all I can tell you is I didn't write that, but somebody we know did.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty interesting. So you want to discuss... You want to discuss my godlike motherboard status, and is it actually warranted?
And it's episode 310, by the way, guys.
Yes, episode 310. Yeah. I said. And
did
if
you?
He really is so god, yeah, and really so godlike, and we also touch on the fact that he was bullied into a 5090. It didn't take much, man. You guys are just like, I'm sitting there going, like, is it possible? Can I work it out?
Well,
and then when I saw the price was really good, I was going like, oh, damn, I got to figure this out.
Well, me and Trev were talking earlier, and he says he's really proud of it, right? And I agree. I told him the analogy, if you win the Football World Cup, you get like a star on your shirt. This should be our star, man. Like, seriously,
yeah,
he bullied you into a 5090. So that's
a big one like this. I put it on my back, really large.
So if Rockstar ever bring out Bully 2, it should be literally aimed at this situation and scenario of the game. It should be hot, isn't it?
Yeah, really. Let's see. Then you got also the proposal to change the podcast name from the 5090 Crew featuring Matt.
Oh, poor Matthew.
Poor Matt's going to be mad when he hears that one. Let's see. With Trev potentially buying the 9850 X3D, will he then be known as King Dong?
I will buy it. It's when it comes out, I'll just stick up my credit card, but I will get that. And what was that movie?
What were the prices saying on that? Or they haven't really.
It was probably going to be between 5 and 6, like normal pricing.
Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be cheap or anything. I guess.
Yeah, no.
In any case, after
to quote Monty Python, biggest dickus.
That's right. I love that whole scene. That whole scene is so funny. The parts were in that scene. The parts where the Roman officers are laughing. It that's not put on. I thought maybe it was, and they said that they asked the guys originally when they filmed the scene, don't laugh, you know, just don't laugh, keep a straight face. But they couldn't help it. So when they went to go look at the what they call the rushes to see how it looked, they said it was too damn funny and they just left it in.
Yeah, sometimes there are those things in movies that they keep in, huh? Lord of the Rings also has this famous scene with Viggo Mortensen kicking the bucket, and he is breaking his toe while doing it.
Oh,
and they kept
I thought
it in
you
the
meant proverbially kicking the bucket.
Yeah,
like
he kicked the bucket in the movie, right? And while doing it, he literally broke his toe, but he just kept it in because it was too realistic at that moment. So.
I like looking at stuff like that when you hear these things back from people going like, was that real? And they go, well, and they say how whether it's real or not real.
Yeah,
you know, and sometimes they get like method actors really. A lot of that's real because they just—that's just the way they are.
I think into the headspace. It's a bit of a side tangent, but I think method acting is kind of weird. No, I mean, especially for your colleagues and at least, no.
If you're wondering why we're talking entertainment, Trev and I are knocking around the idea of bringing back an entertainment program, but it won't be called Gray's Green Room. We're going to pick a different name.
I said that as well. I like Gray's Green Room.
But I know, but I like the – don't get me wrong. I like the name, but there's a few reasons why I don't want to do it. Most of the majority of the people out there listening do not know what the term green room means. So to them, it's kind of like, what? Plus, I don't want to make it just gray. I want all of us, so that's another reason.
That's the godlike complex coming again, but okay.
And yeah, that's it. But on top of that, the name's too long. These days, people want short, quick, you know, names they can remember.
How about, listen to this one, GGR?
No, that's too short. No one will know what it means.
I tried.
We just get away with Extreme Gaming Podcast because we've had this name for so damn long that, you know, everybody knows it, and that's fine. But something new, you got to do something different. So y'all be listening on the – I know you're listening to the audio thing now and whatever, and just keep listening. We'll let you know if that's going to really happen. So far, we'll see. And if it does, it'll probably be like once a month or twice a month. It won't be weekly like this one. Mm-hmm. In any case, don't forget, join our Discord, discord.gg/extreme gaming podcast. That's all one word in that case. You can always email us if you want. We've had a couple of people email us, info@extremegamingpodcast.com. You can check us out on YouTube. We don't do the long form podcasts on YouTube, but we do the quick breaks, which is little chunks of our podcasts put into quick bite size pieces, I guess. You know, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. So you can check all that out on YouTube. Meanwhile, then we'll just kind of jump into the news, and we're going to jump into my news.
Yeah.
So I thought we could have some fun with this thing. I love finding articles like this that we can all take a piss on, as they say. six PC specs that are finally outdated.
Uh-oh.
Six PC specs that are finally outdated. So I want to see, like, all right, let's see what that's all about. So basically, what the way he's premising the article, this Tavir Singh, he said that if you're in the market to build a new PC, you should probably consider not taking any of these things, these particular things he's talking about. These six specs. I figure, all right, let's pretend we're going to build a PC. All right, so basically he says the first thing up is 1080p 60Hz monitors out of there when you're going to build a new system.
Oh, if you build a new one, that's what you mean.
Yeah,
so.
Yes. Okay, okay. Premise that you're building a new one.
Okay, no. Agreed.
Would that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, agreed. I don't think as a PC gamer in 2025, 60Hz... especially at 1080p, is just not done anymore. It's surprising.
Console then, videos. If you're going to do that, what's the point?
Yeah, no, true. Yeah.
Yeah. Although supposedly, even though 1440p has kind of become the sweet spot, there's still a lot of 1080p players, believe it or not.
The majority, I think, no? Is still the majority? No?
I don't know if it's still the majority. Well, it could be, but I know 1440p is way up there now, obviously. Yeah. You know, and since 4K is starting to get affordable, even, you never know. But yeah. I agree too. I mean, that does seem kind of old. I mean, I don't even know that many people that even talk 60Hz monitors anymore. They talk at least what the 144s now, or you know, whatever, or if, you know, 240s like my 3 right here. The next thing, this makes sense too, I guess, non-modular PSUs. So if people don't understand what that is, that's when they used to make PSUs, they wouldn't have the cables be able to come out of the back of the PSU. They're basically running inside the box and soldered down, and you can't pull the plugs out of the back of a PSU, period. So I guess that makes sense. I mean, I think ever since they made the modular where you can pull them out of the back if you want, allows you to have your own cables or buy something, you know, whatever. So that kind of makes sense, I think, no?
I've only ever had that.
Agree for gaming PCs, at least. So...
Well, okay.
I think there are some of the let's say the cheaper pre-built that are non-gaming PCs, like more of a like a family computer, so to speak. I don't think you need a modular one in there, but for gaming, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to me. I mean, I can remember a long time ago, I used to hate that. I always wondered why they couldn't just do that, and that was before it actually became real.
Yeah, the gray ones, right? No pun intended.
Yeah.
But these gray you know, and the thingies.
Yeah, and the pre-builds back then were a nightmare. I was working at a company doing their audiovisual and some of their IT. And, of course, they all bought, way back then, Compaq and some other ones. Remember those? And they were all the pre-builds. But they didn't want you to go into the case. Compaq didn't want you to go into the case. So when I'm sitting there tearing open the case, it's like getting into Fort Knox. I literally got to, like, pull screws out, break some shit to get in, to get where I needed to go.
Nightmares. Nightmares.
Oh, my God. It was awful. I mean, the case itself didn't want, you know, they didn't want to make it easy on you. You had to sit there and really struggle. It took forever to get into those freaking things. I felt like throwing them against the wall and telling them, don't buy these suckers anymore. You know, and there was, it wasn't just Compaq back then. There was other, a lot of them were all doing that. You know, we know it's best.
All of them.
You know.
Try opening in like a Commodore 64 or something. Or
Yeah. Yeah. Nuts. That's, all right, let's move on to the next one.
Only ever had modular, guys. Only ever had modular. I've never had the other style, so that's interesting.
Very interesting. We're a little older than you are, that's why.
Yeah.
Hans just barely remembers it, and I remember everything.
Yeah, you were there when it... I was actually there more towards... No, not the end, because...
The Commodore 64. All I know is, man, those compacts. And they were huge freaking things, man.
My first family PC was like a Pentium 133 megahertz or something, which was like top of the line back then. Mm-hmm. I think it had 5 megabytes of RAM or something, which was...
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
Yeah, megabytes. Nothing with gigabytes back then. And it's like megabytes. Oh, yeah.
Something we'll touch on later, like the 3DFX Voodoo card, which you had to actually install as an add-on to your graphics card.
Yeah, well, we're going to get on to that. I have one of those, too. I don't now, but I did have one.
I have one still somewhere around here. I don't know where. I'm sorry.
The oldest thing I have is I still have my 1080 Ti. Other than that, I don't have anything really any older, you know, laying around.
That's still a viable card. You can still use that one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sure. I mean, well, yes and no, because some of the new builds. Well, we'll get into it. Let's continue down the list. All right. So they say if you're building a board, building a computer today, they feel that motherboards without onboard Wi-Fi, out.
Oh, without.
Yeah. In other words, they don't have it on. Not built in.
It's not necessary for me, but I kind of agree. It just should be on there. So.
That's so cheap.
I think so too, because. Yeah, I mean, it is. And I can remember plenty of times where I had to get Wi-Fi, so what, I had to go out and, you know, you had to get the USBs or the whatever other adapters to be able to get your Wi-Fi going. Not that that was that difficult to do. I mean, you could do it, but it was nice when they just put it on the board.
You've got Wi-Fi in your boards, the godlike, but it's, I think it is Wi-Fi 7 because of how expensive it is. That's the latest version of Wi-Fi, so.
Yeah. I have the antenna right here. Not that I really use the Wi-Fi. But...
We can't hear you.
See? Does that look godlike to you?
Yeah, no. No, it has this little. It looks like a fish. I don't know what you call this thing.
It's a shark. It's a shark fin. My old Intel motherboard had that also way back.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's cool looking, but I don't care.
Nice to have the option. Yeah, you know.
It just should be on there. I think standard.
Serious gamers would never use it because latency is important. But it's nice to have it.
I had to buy this, you know, separately for my computer, and it, you know, costs a couple dollars. So. But, you know, it really does make the computer work better.
For the audio people, he's showing up a little model Godzilla. Oh, that's adorable.
I can do something better here, Gray, to annoy you. Remember this one?
Oh, yeah, that's very annoying. Not so much today, though. It only took a few years. That's all. And now it's like the benchmark instead of crisis, right?
True.
It's kind of funny. Yeah, showing Cyberpunk, by the way, everybody, for listening to the audience. I forgot.
It's an old running gag. So.
Yes, it's a very, very old running gag going back since the game freaking came out.
Day one.
Anyway, so we agree with that. So motherboard should really have Wi-Fi. Fine. Don't get one without it. All right. Next is... I don't know if I agree with this entirely, but Gen 3 NVMe SSD. They say Gen 4 is the sweet spot.
Yes.
I don't know. There's a lot of Gen 5 going around.
Let's be honest. I mean, we're talking about literal less than a second difference or something when it comes. I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Are they saying that from the respect that the newer boards won't take it, period?
Why wouldn't they take it, Gen 4?
That's what I'm saying. So if it can't take it, which we know it can, then I don't know if I would agree with that entirely. especially now, actually. This article may have been written before things really got, true. You know. Now I would say, like, yeah, man, put the three in there. I mean, if you got it, don't bother buying a new one. It's just going to go up in price.
That is something I don't even worry about when I buy a motherboard. That's really maybe on the last checkpoint, so to speak.
Yeah.
Well, Gen 6 has been ratified already, although it's not out. It's already been approved by the regulatory bodies, so that's something that will come out when it's required, because Gen 5 is not really massively taken over. I'm Gen 4. I'm happy with that.
Me too.
I'm Gen 5 because it's godlike, but other than that, I don't have a Gen 5 drive.
What if you got plugged into the burner board that can actually take advantage of Gen 5?
No, I don't have a Gen 5, right?
You don't have anything that can take advantage of it. You will soon, actually. It's called a 5090.
Well, true. But what I was going to do originally, before all this stuff went crazy, is I was going to get a Gen 5 drive just for the heck of it. Just buy a small one and, you know, whatever, and stick it in. But then when this all went nuts, I'm like,
You won't notice the difference at all.
I know. I was just going to do it just to see, you know, or whatever. I mean, I have two Gen 4s, and I have a Gen I like to call 3.5. it's the Gen 3 Gen 3 came out with a version that was they used four lanes instead of the two.
Right.
So it was better than a 3, but not as good as a 4. So it's like Gen 3.5. You know, or whatever. So I have one of those and two 4s. So, and then I have two regular SATA drives that I've had for 10 years, and they're still going good. I just ran a test on them, and they're doing fine. They're not.
I still have one regular hard drive as my data storage.
Yeah,
me too.
It's 6 tera.
I didn't have to put the SATAs back in. One's only 500 gig, and one's 1 terabyte. But I figured, what the hell? I got all the space. I'll just put it up.
They're still the cheapest for large storage at the moment. Especially the mechanical hard drives, 7,200 RPM ones, that are still the cheapest. I've got two of them. I've got two 4 terabyte ones back the other one up, and I don't put much on it. But it's even the SSDs, those ones that pretty much run at the same speed, was up to a maximum of 500. They're still useful because the weight of my PC, oh my God. That's another thing. That's another thing, boys, right? So my 5090 arrived. It's Monday. It arrived on Saturday, and I was like, "Oh my God! Look at the weight of it, right? Fucking heavy." And that's the whole box. I'm thinking, okay, the card is most of that, and this is going to be really heavy. This card, like premium products in there, and my PC case already weighs a ton, right? You literally struggle to pick it up. So I'm like. Yeah. I used to have my PC on my desk, my stand-up desk.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But now I actually have it on the side on a little separate unit, because I'm scared if I put it on my desk and I try to lift it up, it'll be like Gray trying to pick up a cheese wheel for the floor after he's had like 10 beers. You know those weird noises you make, and it'll just grind to a halt, so he's got his cheese wheels there. Baby bells for those that wonder what the hell they are.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Where do you keep your PCs? Like on your desk beside you, on a stand-up desk?
Every podcast, I always bring one out and put it right here.
And for the record, the Astral weighs 3.3 kilograms.
Huh. Really? Okay. Yeah, well, you know, I noticed in the one I got, since it's the Asus, the Tough Gaming, they give me
that's also 3 kilograms.
Yeah, and they give me a stand.
Founder edition?
Yeah, you got the stand. This, the Founder edition is 2.4, I think.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah,
it's smaller. Sure. It's only a 2-slot card or 2.2-slot card, which is a cool design. Don't get me wrong with this one. So,
where does the support they're sending me go? Because there's a thing in there that supports the card.
But do you mount vertically underneath. Or horizontally?
Horizontally,
so you can put it somewhere in your case and jack it up, so to speak, like a car.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, I'll take a look.
I had
it then.
Too with mine. In my case, not necessary, but it is cool that they deliver with it. So.
Gray, definitely use it, because it'll be it'll sag after a while, and you know what that's all about, don't you? So yeah.
As long as they gave it to me free, then I'm thinking, all right, great.
I think every 5090 has one.
You don't want to. You don't want to be saggy.
Yeah.
You don't want.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to be saggy, man.
No.
I have to hold it up with something else. I can put a toothpick in there. So.
A toothpick. You see, some people make the coolest things when it comes to using their 3D printers. Or they'll get little statues and stuff of, like, Superman holding it up or something, you know, like something stupid, or the Hulk or something, just random, holding it up just to add to the actual theme. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah.
Just make sure it's made out of good materials
because otherwise it'll fucking melt in there.
Yeah, that's
3D printed, you know, so.
I saw a guy with I think it was a height case because he had mostly glass, you know, in the front. And he put, like, little Star Wars mannequin thingies in there, small ones all over. And it looked pretty good, actually.
It is.
Who's got the coolest looking case? Is it me? After I need to show it. It'll be between hands and
I don't know what case you have, to be fair. So.
It's the Be Quiet, the one with the RGB strips, and half of it's glass and half of it's plastic with strips going around
it. I think that is a difficult discussion because having the coolest case, I mean, that depends on what somebody likes, no?
Yeah, very true.
Yeah,
I went the RGB route, and I said, "Nah, I really like the way the lights light up on the board, though, because now I don't have to have the RGB. It looks actually nicer to have the panel lights and displays that are built into it."
Cool. Yeah, a friend of mine has like this closed case, but it's full of army camo, right? Actually, a very cool case. It's completely closed off, so you can't see anything inside, but just a cool case.
Well, how about the guys that used to, I don't know if they still do it, but how about the guys that used to do the custom paint jobs?
Yeah.
Where they would do like the camo, let's say on the outside, or you know, or whatever.
Who are they? My PC.
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, that used to be a big thing. It was a subset of people that, you know, did that. But that was expensive, man. I mean, the entire case made themed out and whatever. I mean, it was nice looking stuff, but boy, was that pricey. Woo.
Yeah, but it was like a few years ago. Choosing a case was actually pretty easy. You only had a few models to choose from, so to speak. Now, when you look online, there's like thousands upon thousands of cases you can choose from. It's like, what the hell?
And there's no way that all those sell either. So they gotta have like some laying around, wishing they never made them.
Yeah.
Grind them up for the new ones. Yeah.
Yay.
Anyway, let's go on to the next thing. He says that you should throw out the window. 500 gigabyte SSDs, not enough by a long shot. He says.
Disagree.
Disagree. Not as your main drive, but. What? No.
What? I mean, I use it for my Windows drive. Just 500. That's it. Only Windows.
To be fair, though, he's kind of specifying more of the SATA type, you know, drives. But yeah, I still don't agree either because I do have a 500 gig. Now, yes, it is a Gen 4, but I use that 500 gig solely for Windows and
same.
Maybe. You know, and a couple other things, maybe. Otherwise, I keep that pretty clean. So I don't really agree with that. I don't care if it's SATA or if it's whatever gen it is. I mean, why? I mean, perfect for a system. Just put Windows on there and
again,
we're
talking microseconds here, in difference. So it's
And to be honest, even though my Gen 4 is for the system, I didn't even really need a Gen 4 for Windows. To be honest,
no.
You know, but, you know, I went for it at the time, so. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm with you guys. I don't think I agree with that one that much. Next one is, this is going to be a funny question now. Before the prices went up, I might have said this makes sense. He said, forget 16 gigabytes of RAM. The time has come to, like, you know, dump it and go with 32 or more. So, I would have kind of agreed, I guess, more or less. But now that the price went up, I can't even say that anymore. Because I'm sitting there going like, well, maybe you should just stick with the 16 because it's going to cost you too damn much to get anything more.
16 gig one over here is over 300 euros now in most cases. So it's crazy.
Jeez, that's like crazy, man. I used to get that for dirt.
And we're talking about cheap-ass RAM then. I mean, not any special. RGB one's even more expensive.
And that finished his list. So I guess we agreed with most of his list, but a couple of the things we didn't really agree with.
Yeah.
You know, which is interesting. But I thought that was pretty kind of cute. It was different, you know. Mm. And now to get on to your favorite thing there, the 3DFX Voodoo 2 graphics card. I thought this was great. This guy apparently had a mission to get this card to work with updated systems, newer systems, Windows 11. All this stuff, and I'm sitting there going like, whoa, good luck on that one. But apparently he did it. There's a picture of the board in here too, if you want to see the articles by Mark Tyson on Tom's Hardware. But he said there is no simple feat to do this. He said, nevertheless, you can see that this guy got a 1998 vintage 3D accelerator using services written for a 1996 OS with an experimental 64-bit driver from 2006 to run a PC using an OS from 2011 powered by a processor from 2024.
Cool. That's all I can say. Cool.
I mean, that's a lot of effort, boy. I mean, that's a mouthful, too, to read that. I mean, that's what he had to do.
Just because you can, right? This is one of those things, because you can. It's no more to it, just cool. I mean,
it's like the guys that run to see if they can get 1,000 FPS and they pour the liquid oxygen on the chip. I mean, it's great. I love watching that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, he did a lot of freaking work, man. I mean, this is like crazy. He said, instead of jumping on the deep end, he says he took viewers on a journey with this tech tale of May. Oh, when it took him from May to September to get it all done.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a little bit. God, that's a lot of freaking work, man. And if you, for you people out there listening to the audio, one more time, just follow this. He got a 1998 vintage 3D accelerator using services written for a 1996 OS with an experimental 64-bit driver from 2006 to run on a PC using OS from 2011 powered by a processor from 2024.
Wow, that's exhausting.
Now, to just give you a little bit more on this, guess what chip he used? He used the AMD Ryzen 9 9900X on Windows 11. So he went for a really good chip. So I can imagine how much he had to do to get everything to work.
The fact is, he got it to work, and it's a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't amount to anything, right? But just cool to do. If you can do it, then why not? I mean,
I'm trying to see if he ran a benchmark or something on this thing. I don't really see anything. I think he tried, but I don't think it even registered or something. I'm not sure.
Oh, man. My 3DFX Voodoo used to struggle in the first Tomb Raider game.
Yeah.
Because the water was so damn hard to emulate, so to speak.
Let's see. It says here, this guy was pushing his luck by trying to run. This is funny. When he was successful on the one Voodoo, he decided to try his luck on running two Voodoos in SLI.
Was it even possible?
On the same system. He says, indeed, using his second Voodoo, he says, a Joytech Apollo 3D Fast 2 12 megabyte.
Wow.
Let's see. Apparently, I don't think he was able to get it to do it. He tried. He said it was very much teetering on the brink. But even to attempt an SLI with two of those things, are you kidding me? That's crazy. But I think it's great.
One on its own was working, but two together, no.
No. Not, it kind of, I mean, technically, you could say it kind of worked, but it was very much on the razor edge, of anything. But that's just crazy. And some of the pictures, people out there should take a look at the article, because some of the pictures here are pretty wild, man. He's got crap everywhere. Wires, stuff outside the case, in the case. I mean, it's absolutely... And the card itself is so funny to look at, because you see all the little transistors and other things that are actually soldered under the board. There's not like that. There's no the micro anything, man.
A lot of people like naked cards. Problem is, you can't anymore because they're too hot, so they need to be cooled. Otherwise, naked cards would be the thing.
Yeah, the card now is 90% cooler.
Remember the Sound Blasters?
Yep.
The ISA cards.
Now, thankfully, the audio built in is actually pretty decent to good now. But yeah, you really need that if you're a high end.
Sound Blasters you can actually still buy. Just saying.
Yeah,
they're still a thing.
They still make a card too, I think. Or was it the other company, Turtle Beach? I think they still make an audio card for people that are real like audiophiles and want to use the motherboard.
Whatchamacallit, the most famous card manufacturer, I just can't think of the name, drawing a blank.
Wow. I'm looking at some of the pictures of this stuff. Anybody remember this? It's an 8-bit PC Hercules graphics card from 1984.
No, that doesn't ring a bell. So.
That goes further back than me, man. I don't know. I mean, I've heard the name Hercules, but I'm going like, wow, man, that's... Yeah, okay.
That's something.
Yeah. Anyway, to give us a quick little shout out for Gameho.io. That's GAMEHO.io. Normally when you go to their site, they give you 3 months free of a great server service. Now, this is not a server that you go rent for a bunch of money and you use it once and you lost your money and everybody says, oh, we can't afford it. Let's get rid of it, blah, blah, blah. It's basically the easiest way to explain it is you pay by the hour. So yeah. You can get a server, you pay by the hour, and you can do all you want with your friends and come back again a week later, 2 weeks later, 2 months later. But you get 3 months free when you go on the site. But if you go to gameho.io/EGP, you'll get another 4 hours on top of the three. So now you get 7 hours of service on a real server, which is a lot of hours. And that'll give you plenty of time to really try it out and see if you like it and stick with it or whatever. But you can't beat by the hour. So check out Gameho, GAMEHO.io. Say hello to Merrick. And he'll set you up. Anyway, on to Trev. You got some tech news of your own there, Trev?
I do. Although I'm going to slightly jump the gun, and you'll see why in a moment as to what I want to share, because this little screenshot alone, or not screenshot, article, is actually very, very useful. And it is... this, look at that, boys. AMD Ryzen 7 9850X3D, the fastest 8-core 3D V cache CPU for gamers, spotted running on a Asus B85 motherboard with 9800 megatransfers of DDR5. Holy moly, it's supposed to struggle more than, what was it, 6,000 megatransfers of RAM, and now we've got it higher than Intel? That is bonkers. Look, there you go. See it there? See that little bit in the corner?
Yeah, it's flashing. It's flashing away, so I can't really look at it. Huh?
Yeah, make sure we mention it to the audience.
Yeah, it's just giving you the specs. It's on the motherboard, and it literally does zoom in to tell you the BIOS, the board type, the processor. It is a 9850X3D running at 53 megahertz, but that's it can go faster than that. And the memory is 32 gig of 9800 megatransfer DDR5 RAM. Wow. But it is legit, because you see there, look, there's another picture there. Yeah, that is literally from, I mean, that is good quality RAM. And we'll be talking about RAM shortly with Mr. Hans, which is very interesting. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping they announce that. What's the event they have in January again?
CES.
That's the one. Yes, mate. I'm hoping they do that and announce it then, because I would like to know when I could buy such a thing. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
So now we can put your other chip on sale on eBay or something?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'll stick the 9950. Although, is it worth hanging about for the 9950X2D? Probably not off the cost.
Yeah, I would make it between the two. And you seem
I know you don't know when that comes out. It might not come out at the same time. It might come out later. So, yeah, exactly, man. Right, the other thing, which kind of ties into the entertainment stuff, us three like to talk about quite a lot. You may or may not have heard about Netflix's acquisition to buy Warner Brothers.
Yeah. Mr. Hyman, you're a rock.
Well, like, if you're not in the entertainment industry, if you're not interested in the stuff, you might not know about it, to be fair. But it is massive news.
Massive news.
But sorry to interrupt you, there's breaking news in that segment also, like an hour ago. Paramount Skydance launched a hostile takeover bid.
Yep, they've been rumored that they were going to try this, and they are.
Yeah.
I heard it was a thing. I'm trying to keep it kind of relevant to gaming, but it was... Yeah, like, it would be bad probably for Hollywood, and in my opinion, to have one company with so much power. I personally want Paramount to get it, but obviously it's not up to us, it's up to Warner Brothers and Netflix to decide between them.
I think Netflix just has deeper pockets.
They
even
do.
With, this,
100%
with that new hostile takeover bid, I mean, we don't know what it is, how much they bid, but Netflix is just going to say, look, okay, we do more.
They go straight to the...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
They go straight to the shareholders, Paramount, basically, bypass everything, so that's how it might get passed, but, yeah.
It's not an easy thing to do. It may make it sound like it's easy, it's not. I heard when they go to the hostile takeover, they're supposedly they're going to go in and say, we'll give you $1 more per share than Netflix did. Supposedly. Ooh. Now, the Ellisons that own Paramount Skydance, they have a lot of freaking money. So does Netflix. The thing that people like, or the financiers like about Netflix, is most of their money is completely fluid. Cash, in other words. And that matters a lot, too. But I've been sitting back watching this battle. It's been really interesting. And then, of course, for us, you know, we want to see what happens with the games and things, but I'll let Trev talk to you about that.
Yeah, want to keep it kind of game related for now. That if they do buy them over, it would include its game studio, Warner Brothers games, because the without being long winded, Netflix don't want the whole shebang. That's what makes it even bonkers for me. They want the profitable bits, the bits to do with studio space and IP and all that kind of stuff, which makes sense for them, whereas Paramount are willing to offer more for everything. So don't know where that'll go. And I wasn't sure if Warner Brothers games, WB games, would be actually included in that, but it will be, and it makes sense because Netflix started dabbling into the gaming market with like small games for the longest time. In fact, I think it's still the case now. If you want to play Football Manager on your mobile, which a lot of people do, I did dabble on it a little bit, you have to have a Netflix subscription because they've got the rights for it, which is really bloody frustrating. So they'll probably want to expand their offerings and actually start bringing out more games. I mean, Warner Brothers games were very hit or miss, weren't they? I mean, they made some cracking games over the years, but they've made also some humdingers as well. And that would be part of the $82.7 billion with a B takeover from Netflix. And hopefully can make some decent games, because some of them recently, including Suicide Squad, were absolutely pants.
It's going to be an interesting, even going forward, because Netflix paid the amount for the studios, for the motion picture side, for the games. But not the other stuff, meaning the networks, Discovery, and some other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And here's where the difference is that when Comcast and Paramount were bidding, they were bidding the same amount of money, but for all of it. So the better deal for Warner Brothers was to take the money and still have pieces to sell.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's where it's probably possibly coming from, Greg. I think that's maybe why they're doing that. They're like, listen, we can get all that money from Netflix and we can still sell off the other bits. Yeah, we won't get as much, but we'll still get some money, and they'll have a lot of debt attached to them, so they'll still get some pennies. I think realistically Paramount would have to come in with a good bit higher of a bid for them to be interested. It would be better for Paramount to get it, because they're part of the...
They're actually
in bed with Trump administration, so it's easier to kind of pass it.
True. It's going to get political, like you kind of alluded to, too. It's just
always does. It's a pain in the arse.
It's going to be like a boxing match to watch who wins what round.
Boxing match. The thing to remember about WB Games, right, is that also makes up... like Sub Studios, Avalanche Studios, NetherRealm Games, Rocksteady Games. So it's like one, it's not Warner Brothers themselves are not a studio, it's WB Games that have a few studios under them. So that's actually a lot bigger than you think about it.
Yeah.
And some IP, Mortal Kombat, Injustice, Hogwarts, sure. Legacy, Batman, Suicide Squad, which was crap. TT Games, which are Lego games under Netflix's control. So, it's interesting. Watch this space. I don't think it'll go through, personally. I think Trump's even said it's probably not going to be good for business. So, watch this space, people, and maybe we'll talk about it in an entertainment pod soon.
Good one.
Moving on from that, sometimes I say this a lot in the pod, that I'm not surprised by things, and it's another one I'm not surprised about. Sega, or I feel like I'm contractually obliged to say Sega every time I say that word.
Or Sega.
I've never heard it said like that. When a console boots up, it's usually pretty long and
That was the old one was long. The newer one later, they just used to scream it really fast.
Oh, did they? No, I prefer the old one. Sega says it will use AI in game development, and everyone's sighing, going, "Boo!" but only in appropriate use case. Right, so straight away you want to lay the boot into them, but we discussed this recently before, that if we use it the right way in gaming, then it's not a problem. It's part of our society. It'll become an even bigger part of society going forwards. We just need to accept it, call out the crap that we get in social media, call out the crap we get in games, and use it the right way. You know, for example, there was a PlayStation calendar thing that was released, an online calendar that was released in some countries. I think Belgium might be one of them, Hans, like Netherlands and a few kind of countries like that, as an experiment. And basically what it was is if you checked in each day, like an advent calendar, you could get like free stuff like avatars and all that. And you just look at the avatars and the calling cards and stuff you can get, and they just look like they've been AI generated. It's a bit lazy, you know?
I'm not surprised, but it is the way we're going anyway. I mean,
it is.
There's no use finding it. As much as I'm against it, using AI, so to speak, at this moment, we're not going to stop this train anymore. So.
Question for you two lads. What's acceptable? What's an acceptable use of AI in game development? Is there any areas you think it's okay?
Yes, I have an opinion on that one. That is, this goes for a future, I guess. So it's not possible to do now, I think. But let's say you're playing an open world game, an RPG, right? You could actually have an AI convo with an NPC. So that means for everyone the game would be different. And I do see that as a great possibility. I think at the moment it's still a bit too, you know, dodgy to do it.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that there's a possibility they can do in the next amount of years.
Great.
I could see using it like they already are using it for this, I guess, in having your NPCs be controlled by AI. Only from the aspect that if it's done properly and your NPIs are doing like the things that make it the game more immersive, then I think that would be pretty cool. And it would be a lot easier to do than like the old days in Skyrim. All the NPCs did different things, but that took a lot of work, you know, to do it. And then they got lazy, and of course we know what happened today. Most of the NPCs sit around, stare, don't move. All this stuff. So that would be something that I think would be cool, because then all of a sudden now it's looking like a live world, and if you bump into an NPC, they're gonna go, "Hey," you know, or something, which makes it nice. So that I think would be cool. Beyond that, I don't know. It's just,
there's an endless possibility if done right, of course. So.
Well, there's a key word right there, done right.
It's, for my opinion on it is, yeah, like I say, it's going to be used, it is used, it'll be used even more going forwards. The NPC thing is a great idea for that, and I think that might be part of Hideo Kojima's next kind of OD project, where things like that will be, they'll use the kind of Azure cloud and whatnot to actually just make things as good as humanly possible. Another case that we're forgetting, well, fact, I should state and emphasise this clearly, one case that you should never use it in is art generation, because it's lazy. It will never be, okay, I'm not going to say never, it's nowhere near good enough yet to be as good as a good digital artist. Not yet. Maybe in the future that'll change, and I don't want to take away the jobs. You should not use it in level creation or in any shape or form. But using it for intelligence, NPCs, using it for game testing, bug testing at the end, because game testers are not cheap to get. They have to, they're not paid loads and loads of money, but the amount of hours they put in kind of outweighs that. So I always thought as a little boy, I wanted to be a game tester. That'd be great. That'd be a great job. And then I actually spoke to a game tester who went, "It's shit. Please don't do it. Never do it. It's demoralizing. You will hate games forever. You play the same levels over and over and over again." So it takes away your enjoyment. So use it for that. Bug fixing, game testing and whatnot, intelligence, NPCs and all that. And I don't think I would use it in anything else.
You said something really interesting.
I do that all the time, mate.
I know. When you said bug detecting, that would be like amazing. If they could use it to pull out the bugs, because we get so many buggy games now as it is. Not cut corners, but actually pull out real bugs that they can you know, go to fix. Now, what I really would like to see along the same lines what you're saying is, can they create an AI to perfectly optimize the game that they put out? That would be great, because
that is, you know, best case scenario, of course.
What do you train it on?
I agree.
What do you train it on? Perfect games. That's the only way you could do it. Here's a perfect game.
Exactly. So you train it on Doom.
So don't train it on Bethesda games, basically, is what you're saying.
No.
Yeah.
God, no.
No, don't.
No, you train it on the Doom
games. Actually,
game,
when it comes to open
right
world,
there.
Do it on Rockstar games.
Yeah.
True.
I mean,
yeah.
Red Dead 2, love it or hate it, Red Dead 2 is an actually immersive open world with each NPC having a different life, even day and night cycles of the NPCs. So it can be done.
You reminded me of something there. Another tangent coming up, but you talked about, did you say Rockstar or Rocksteady? Rockstar.
Yeah.
Right. They do make polished games because the amount of money and time and stuff they put into their games. But talking about the whole, the recent thing with some of the folk they are trying to unionize and get sacked for it, we've not quite got to the stage where the law's stepping in, although it should. But certainly the local council, which I don't know what the equivalent is in the States for a council. It's like an area, not a town. It's like an area, like where you pay some local tax to get local things done in the area, you know. The local council for us, Edinburgh Council, they've only got limited powers in this because it's a council. It's not like national government. But they're certainly looking into what they can actually do for these people that lost their jobs. And putting a lot of pressure on Rockstar, and I'm like, great. I'm kind of, I said it before, I'm disgusted with the way they were treated. You're allowed to, it's certainly within all EU rights and UK rights to form a union if you want. I don't know if it's the case in the States or not. I've got a funny feeling you may get sacked if you try to do that, but certainly here it's your right.
It's similar, but probably over there it's a wee bit easier, but you can do it here.
Good. So yeah, I found that amusing. Watch this space, because they've been having protests outside all their offices. It wasn't Edinburgh recently, it was the one in London. So yeah, interesting. Right, I think that is me for my end for now. I do have some more news in a bit, but it's Mr. Hands, I think. It's got some stuffs. So
yeah, we got some bit of a depressing stuff again. I mean, RAM prices have gone from RAM prices have gone from totally insane to batshit crazy now.
What's the level though? Is it insane and then batshit crazy, or batshit crazy and then insane?
I think batshit crazy is a little bit worse. So at least that's my headcanon. Let's keep it at that. So, but I'm not sure how it is now in the good old US of A and over there in the UK. But over here, the RAM kit that I have, like 2 weeks ago we talked about this, I think, or was it last week? I'm not sure. I bought this RAM kit at the start of this year for €299, which is 6,000 megatransfers CL30. That same kit 2 weeks ago was €929. Well, it's gone up now to €1,074.
Jeez.
So, and there's no end in sight on this one. The same kit, but in 32 gigabyte.
Mm-hmm.
Almost €600. So even more than half, which is completely insane. Right? The cheapest 32 kit you can get of 5,200 megatransfers, which is not really good, right? I mean, you could do it with X3D chips and something, but even then, it's still too low, in my opinion. It's €380.
Yeah.
Cool. Right? Not everything is negative, because I read during the week that I think it was ASRock, they're putting back DDR4 on their boards.
Oh, wow.
I did read something about that. Yeah.
So, that's the positive note that I wanted to spin to this. So, DDR4... And I honestly think it's going to go back in production somewhere next year. DDR4. It's coming back. I'm pretty sure of it. So.
I think I've found a better deal, Hans. I saw an article earlier on and I got the amount of gigage on the RAM wrong. But there is a brand of RAM out there called Asgard, not to be confused where Thor and Odin's son come from. 192 gigabytes of DDR5 kit priced at $1,200. Normally you think that's nuts, but it's probably a bargain now.
That's actually a bargain, yes.
Yeah, and 256 gig kit for a whopping $2,000. It was shown in Chinese Yen, and I don't know if it's available outside, but there you go. I think I found a bargain for you guys. Asgard, check it up. I don't know if they import to Europe, UK, US, whatever, but that's perfect.
I'm good on RAM personally. I'm not too worried about it.
Luckily we are.
I mean, we bought at the right time, so to speak.
It's nuts, actually, man. When do you think it'll settle down?
Me personally,
they're saying maybe 2027 at the latest.
Yeah, mid 2027 apparently, because it's not going to get solved next year. That's 100% sure.
You need time to ramp up production to increase things. It doesn't. It was remember the shortage during COVID of actual GPUs. CPUs and GPUs in general. You need to be able to. It takes a long time to ramp up production of things.
Yeah, you're right. But the problem in this one is that even one of those players now left the market.
Who
didn't know this one?
Oh, Crucial. Micron left.
Yeah, Micron.
Oh, did Micron's they? Out.
Yeah, yeah. They stopped their Crucial brand. So
why?
Which
Micron decided
because they're only going to sell to AI data centers, the bigger customers.
Oh.
So and they were accounted for about 15% apparently. So that means there's only 35% left.
If the AI bubble pops, they're screwed, and I hope they are, because that's good.
Yeah,
screwed.
We're going into that later, because me and Gray have a bit of a discussion about that, I think, and you too, of course, Trev. So
I'm getting to hold hands as well, that's good.
Yeah, no, but I got to be honest, I forgot to send you a video that I wanted you to take a look at, I'm sorry.
After that picture you sent to us, with us shaking more than just hands...
No, we don't need to talk about that.
That was a cool tattoo idea. You got to admit it.
I'm not even going to tell you what this is, people. You don't want to know. If you're eating something, it'll make you throw up. So I'm not. We're just going to move on. You can imagine it's not pleasant.
But to be fair, now we need to have Gray in that picture also, because he needs to literally slap it on there.
No.
That's great. Okay.
There's an AI picture for you.
If you wanted to put my dog in there too, I mean, you know, that'd really be weird.
No, because that's a female. That's just wrong, mate. That's just man.
By the way, since we're talking about it, I wanted to see what my RAM is selling for on eBay. And the highest was $450 last podcast. Now it's $480.
Jeez.
Oh, that's not much.
I'm waiting, man.
But as we were saying, though, I mean, for the consumer, it's going to be horrible, especially 2026.
Yeah.
The back orders are like, I think, to mid 2027 now. If you order RAM now as a company,
I heard end of 2027 if you're lucky.
Yeah, it's
2028.
It's crazy because I'm going to segment it to my next story anyway, which also affects the GPU market because. People out there may or may not know that there's a rumor out there. Again, it's unverified, so it's a bit wonky to talk about it anyway. But apparently, NVIDIA is no longer supplying VRAM to their board partners.
Yeah.
So that, like, ASUS and ASRock, they need to supply their own RAM, which is going to ramp up the prices astronomically, I guess.
Well, for NVIDIA as well, because they don't make their own RAM, so if they buy the RAM from the people that do the RAM normally, it will mean their cars go up in cost as well.
True, but one thing I would rebuttal in it was NVIDIA is the richest company in the world, right?
Yeah.
They had inside knowledge, they have their RAM. I'm 100% sure they have more than enough stocked for their own.
They went from $5 trillion to $4.5 trillion. I mean, I know that's a terrible thing.
Cry me a river.
Yeah.
It's crazy, though. I mean, and that was then my next thing I want to talk about. That there's the rumors online circulating again. Rumors, I know that, but there's more and more rumors popping up now that the 60 series cards are delayed until at least Q3. Of 2027 and maybe even Q1 of 2028.
Well, what would they do in the meantime? Would they just keep the existing cards going for longer, or would they bring out a Super Series after all? Or
no, the Super Series are 100% not coming. That's personal opinion. I don't think
new can come out because they have to put VRAM on it, so they're not going to make anything new.
Yeah, I don't think those are coming anymore. I do think that though the original plan was to announce them at CES in a few weeks.
Mm.
But that's not happening anymore. I'm pretty sure it's not happening anymore.
Do you think, guys, do you think that NVIDIA, I don't think this is true, but do you think NVIDIA squirreled away like a bunch of GPUs to all of a sudden come out? We got a bunch more for
even if they, even if they haven't, Gray, say they have or they haven't, doesn't matter. They've got, they, if you buy in bulk, as we all know, you get the best deal. So they being the richest company and using some of the most RAM in the world, they'll be able to get the best deal for sure on the RAM. So it's, maybe both things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, well, no, I agree.
I think if they are squirreling away, or they have squirreled away a bunch of GPUs, they're still going to sell for whatever it's going for, and that's going to be a lot.
So,
either way, you get screwed.
I had this thought last week, right? We because we all bought these 5090s, right? Most likely...
Mm-hmm. No, but I didn't.
No, you...
Mm. Well, we're pretending good one. Did. We're going to put stickers on his car.
Go faster.
Yeah, go faster. So, no, but what I mean is there is an actual possibility that this is the last time we will be able to afford one of those really high-end cards.
Yeah, yeah.
That's an actual possibility.
Sure.
So,
but at least it stays high-end for longer.
Yeah, no, true. I agree. This is going to serve us a long time. But so it is an actual possibility, because next time and even the time after that, it's going to go so high in price that you have to say, like, I'm priced out. At some point...
Basically, our membership of the Big D Club will last a lot longer for the same price, so we'll get a lot more mileage out of it.
True, now, but at some point it will be revoked also.
What?
So, never. Yeah.
No, so, the Big D Club is going to keep getting bigger until, you know, until if and when the 6,000.
That guys, I've only got 144 hertz monitor, but it is 4K, so I can just run things at more native higher FPS without relying
how
on frame gen.
Hans?
Sorry, say again?
How many hertz is your monitor?
240.
And I have three 240s, so you're out of the Big D Club already. No, only kidding.
No, I've got four monitors.
Yeah, I think, to be fair though, again, we're on the side tangent, but doesn't matter. I think monitors, for me, 1440p, 4K, even maybe 8K in some alternate dimension, right?
Oh, it's an 8K card.
Isn't really the first thing I look at, right? Yeah. For me, the first thing is, what can the monitor do? Does it have HDR? Does it have OLED? Does it have,
I know, should have got an 8K TV now. No, that's an 8K card. It's 8K 60.
Good luck on running that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
certain
luck.
Certain games.
It is possible, like those old blocky games and Roblox and stuff. So, but, it is possible, but it wouldn't really be a very cool experience.
Emulation?
And to be fair, I don't think 8K will ever be the norm. That's sorry.
No, it probably wouldn't.
I don't see it happen. So.
It would have happened by now.
They're going to do some other trickery. As you can see how OLED monitors evolve now. We've got, what is it, QD OLED, this kind of OLED, that kind of OLED. So
you get,
I think
mini,
that's going to be
the
more
mini
the...
OLED or mini LED?
What, QD OLED.
Yeah, QD OLED. I mean,
dual
so
pixels,
OLEDs.
All that stuff. It's mad.
Yeah, so I think mine just, I think a regular OLED. I don't know. So.
I'm waiting for the AI OLED that can turn into anything you want.
you're laughing, but that is coming.
I'm not an OLED. I'm just a normal monitor, I think.
Oh.
IPS? Is it IPS?
IPS is good. You got IPS VA. I do think once you have seen OLED in your gaming monitor, there's no turning back. I'm not sure if Dre has OLED, but I have heard that. Same for TVs. Once you have an OLED TV, there's no way you're going back to it.
The thing is, Hans, right, as good, as cool as your monitor is, and it is smart, don't get me wrong, I'm not against ultra-wide. It's just not my
first
choice.
It's not for everyone. That is not for everyone.
The thing is, I know it's a high resolution, but it's not high enough. What I'm looking at, and it does exist now, LG have got it out, is equivalent of two 27 inches together in one monitor, and it'd be 4K.
No, there is
pure 4K.
Samsung now has a 7,120 at 5,000 something. So,
but it needs to be 7,000 odd by what? 2160?
Yeah.
The three monitors I have are all Samsung, and I have yet to play like two monitors. I only want to do a widescreen thing with games on two of the three, but I don't know if I can set it up for only two. I was reading that I might have to turn the third one off just to be able to do the two.
This is why you need to get Hans's monitor yeah, yeah, is useful.
You're one of those people that would actually benefit from one of those monitors.
The thing with the monitor that Hans has got is, or maybe not your model, but these kind of monitors in general, you think of, some people think they're a burden, but if it's too big, right, you just use that for certain games, and then you can actually, mm-hmm. it can split itself in a picture down the middle yep. and give yourself two 27-inch screens, and that's how you would norm. You wouldn't want to use Windows and wide ultra-wide screen or anything. You'd be like that. Give me half an hour to look to the left, right? On the right, another half an hour. So you know,
my taskbar is in the middle, so I worked around that one. My daughter does it that way. She yeah. has the same monitor, so it just splits it. So...
absolutely nuts, man.
The things I have these days, man.
Yeah. So I want to try two monitors one day.
I can't afford that.
Yeah.
So, but anyway.
Then don't buy a 5090, so then you have more
too late,
money.
Too late, don't regret it. Right, next, no, Mr. Hans.
Me neither. Oh, man.
What else have you got for us?
Get a widescreen 4K. That only costs you a zillion dollars.
They exist. There's a widescreen 8K.
They're about £1,800, I think, the one I talked about, the LG 21x6.
Yeah, and there's also 4K. A Samsung Odyssey, I think it's 71 something by 5,000 something. So, I mean, it's crazy.
Oh my God.
And it's even bigger than this one. This is 49 inch. I think that's 57 inch or something. So, it's...
well, the super wides or whatever we're going to call it that are even wider than yours, Hans, is really more for people that fly Microsoft Flight Simulator and those kind of games. Yeah. I can see where that would be good because. I mean, if you're in a plane flying, and that's kind of the look you got.
Yeah.
You know?
It wouldn't even fit on my desk, to be fair. This is the biggest I can get.
I know. Yeah, they have double stands now. I saw one. Huh. There's a stand on the right and a stand on the left to hold up the whole thing.
They got it. I mean, it's already a wonder. This one doesn't break, to be fair, but okay. Again, the OLED, though, isn't that, you know, they don't weigh a lot. So that's one positive thing.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, that was my news. So I guess
it's funny when you said that. I sit there and have an imagining somebody had CRTs, the old ones, and they put three together.
I used to go to a lot of LAN. Linus has a video about the very first ultrawide monitor, which was a CRT one. I think it was from Alienware. It's crazy.
Really?
It's really big and it's bulky.
God, it must weigh a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I used to do a lot of LAN parties. You know, moving the monitor was the hardest part. As always. So
well,
the big
a CRT, if you made a CRT wide, which was extremely rare, I mean, the tube alone, because it's a tube, right?
Yeah.
When you come past the square and you make it elongated, it's super expensive to make them damn things.
Oh, I used to have one. It was a hand-me-down from my grandparents. It was a 27-inch or 32-inch something widescreen. That was great.
Ooh, that in CRT,
it.
that was the big D club back in the day.
That was I had my Xbox 360 hooked up to that. I absolutely adored that thing. It was great. Absolutely. Hans, Medusa Point, did you mention that?
Oh, yeah, sorry, Medusa Point, right. So the next gen AMD CPUs, they are now being talked about. I think they were about a year away now, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not sure what the cycle is with AMD. And the next gen Medusa Point, so from what I understand it, and again, take this with a grain of salt because I'm not that technical, they are reshaping how they do CPUs once again. So Medusa Point, they're going to shift from single die approach to what they call the N2P, which is about the pipelines. I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty of that one. But anyway, they don't talk about 3D V-cache anymore. Which, in theory, if correct, and this works, it should fix everything that I personally and a few other people think is wrong with the X3D chips. Which should also increase the 1% lows dramatically and would probably leave Intel in the dust. Once again, these are all rumored numbers.
There's not something they can release just now for current chips or the 9850 that would actually fix that. I mean,
I don't think
it architectural?
It's an architectural problem, and especially I think the XGD, as good as they are, because everybody thinks I hate the XGD, no, they're great. It's just that for gaming, they have this one specific quirk that I find annoying. And there's no going around it. I say to people, look, put in your frame counter, test it yourself. And every one of them comes back to me saying, wait, indeed, my 1% lows are so low. So, and in most games, it's actually not a problem. Let's not be overdramatic in it. But it is noticeable sometimes. And it's something that annoys me. And this could possibly fix it.
Is there any more information on the Zen 6 stuff that you're aware of, apart from that?
There's the rumors. It's still AM5, which is good.
Of course.
There would be an RDNA 3.5 graphics on there, I think, which I don't really know what that is, I gotta be honest.
Integrated graphics.
I don't know what 3.5 is. I mean, for is it
what are they
now
boost. In
the graphics cards? It's RDNA 4 now, I think they are. No, that they're working on RDNA 5. I'm not sure, so I'm not really into the old thing with the AMD. So, but from what I read, and that could also be very good for the integrated graphics. So it should be pretty powerful. It should be able to run 1080p games. At 60 hertz. See, there's cool. maybe a reason for the monitor right there.
true.
We find the use case. But anyway, I'm actually partially excited about this one. I can't wait to see more about it. Because if they are really leaving the X3D generation behind, so they must have something now that is better. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. Again, if this is true. So that's actually pretty exciting to me.
Oh, so Let's not forget, say the 9850 X3D that was we're talking about, which I'm very much convinced is a thing now, mobile coming out soon.
It's coming, yeah.
They're using their newer version of their 3D cache, which is the reason they can do what they do is run at 400 megahertz higher. It can be run harder and faster, the cache, without burning out and getting as hot as it once did, as quickly as it did. So that gives you hope that with a good cooler, and I've got a 480 mil rad, basically the biggest one or one of the biggest ones you can get. I'm hoping that will then keep that chip cool enough to then, with Mr. Hansey's help, get a 9850 all core up to 6 gig. That would be the dream.
And I hear a lot of people online saying it's only 400 megahertz. That's a pretty big deal. 400
yeah, and that's before you overclock it. That's before you overclock it. So if you can get up another 400, you're...
Another 400 next week, your chip can be done, but you need the golden sample. Mine doesn't do it, my 9800 next week. I get it to 320, I think, and then it loses all stability. I can get it to 320 extra on the clock, on the core.
Oh, 320 right? Extra, right. Yeah, so what was the default on that? 5300 or something? The turbo.
Oh, 4008, I think.
Well, it's 400 megahertz more, so that was 5200 it peaks and boosts up to, doesn't
it?
Yeah,
it's 4008, I think. I'm not 100% sure.
Another 325, did you say? 375 on that? That's good.
Yeah, but that's actually the bare maximum. Okay. I don't do that now. That's something I don't really do because I undervolt and actually underclock my CPU because it then runs more stable at the same frequency. If it starts to thermal throttle, then you got problems. And 3D chips, they run hot. It's sometimes a real bitch to cool, to be fair. So,
well, that's the new 3D cache is better.
Yeah, if you're actually going to buy that, I actually would want you to test if possible. The 1% lows. Because if that fixes it, then this one is out. I'm buying it too. So. This time I don't want to be a guinea pig anymore for AMD. So.
you've still got organs left, man. It's to sell. It's fine. You've still got some.
I don't need organs to sell. So that's maybe I got other ways of income. So
yeah, I bet you do. Right, is it myself? Oh, yeah. Books of game news as well. I wasn't going to initially talk about this, but then I decided it would be real interesting to discuss this topic a little bit. And the title is Helldivers 2 PC install size is dropping by more than 80%. Just 2 months after Arrowhead, the studio, said that hard disk drive use made it difficult. Now, I hope I have not opened Pandora's box for this one, but we all know the size of games is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Down to various reasons. But if you remember with the PlayStation 4, the file size used to be really, really massive because of It literally had to almost load everything up twice because it had a mechanical hard drive in it. So when it moved to an SSD, it could keep things on SSD and pull from only when it needed it quick enough, where that wasn't the case with a mechanical hard drive, say a PS4, so things took a lot longer to load as well, and the install sizes were pretty high. Now, for some games, they're still bloody high, and there's ways of restricting that and keeping it lower. And to give you an idea, on PS5, the install size of Helldivers 2 is approximately 35 gig. So getting it down from the PC version from 154 to 23 is possible. And the guys that will be involved to do it, I believe it's Nixxis, we've probably heard of them before. They are the geniuses that can do many things. They've brought out games on Switch before that seemed impossible because they're so good at customizing, utilizing every last bit of power and just making them as good as they possibly can be. We all know file sizes are too bloody huge. I would like to see them coming down, even though I've got a lot of storage in my own drives, even though I've got the resources, the broadband to run it, but it would still be way better. PC players don't have the option of really any more of optical drives or anything like that. You still do on console, but the pissing annoying thing is on console, Blu-ray or dual-side Blu-ray discs can hold 100 gig, right, which will hold a lot of games. A lot of the time, though, still, and it's happening more on Switch 2 as well, the game, the disc, comes with next to no... You unmuted at the wrong time, Mr. Gray. That's amusing.
Sorry, I wasn't going to say anything, but okay.
I sneezed earlier on. I can't find the mute button. It's too late. What was I saying there? I've lost my train of thought completely now. anyway,
about
so
the games and how they get smaller and they're going to
doing the thing. I would like to see file sizes come down for sure. They're just too bloody big. And even if you have a good internet connection, it depends on where you, if you've got like a gig broadband connection, that makes no difference if the server you're connecting to is slower than a week in jail. You know, yeah. You need other, as Steam for the most part tends to be pretty good, but it can be bogged down. Some local servers can be bogged down. And there's a little hack. You can actually change your Steam server to somewhere else. There's two locations in the UK, so I can change it to somewhere else. I've even switched it to Norway on occasion because the UK ones are getting slammed and it's worked.
Yeah.
It goes up really, really high. So, it's the install size is bloody ridiculous. I think Call of Duty, for example, you can customize what components you put on it. That's what I was saying before. The discs that you get for consoles now barely have any of the game on it. They maybe just sit with it's a license key. It's effectively a license key, these discs.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. You're already providing the Blu-ray disc. Why are you not putting the rest of the game on it? You know, because it's pissing annoying. So, yeah. I found that interesting, that article, purely because It is possible. It is actually possible now. So, and I believe Nixxis is a Dutch studio. They specialize in game ports.
Yeah, they do the PC ports for PlayStation. The PC ports for PlayStation also, and they're mostly pretty good.
Yeah.
There's another big reason why they need to make the install sizes smaller. It's a brand new reason, because no one's going to be buying SSDs.
True.
If you don't get it smaller, they can't even play their games because they can't afford to buy another drive.
Absolutely.
Or cloud gaming will become even more popular.
Cloud gaming is inevitable, as much as I hate to say it, but it's inevitable. So
it's going that way. It's going to be that way. Just
never for me.
Years.
For certain games, yes. For the games I can play, probably not, no.
It's a difficult one for me as a collector, especially. It's
being a PC collector,
digital,
is even more
you
difficult.
Don't really own your games anymore, as we do now. But the cloud is one step above that still. Which it's a mental barrier.
And it's going to all go that way eventually.
Yeah, 100%. It's going to go that way.
100%. Yes. Yeah, that's just the way of the future.
That means their gaming PCs in the future won't even need hard drives. You just need one for the operating system.
You can just rent your GPU online. It's crazy.
Do you not remember Xbox is anything?
You can right now.
Do you not remember, Gray? Xbox is anything. It could be anything now. Yep. Can't remember, so, you know.
Run anywhere.
the next thing, really quickly, the Prime free games, or including free games of for December, have been released. And there's a couple of decent ones in there that I've played a bit of, at least. And Deus Ex Mankind Divided. I don't know if anyone ever played the Deus Ex games, but they were classic back in the day.
Long ago.
And that's the most recent version, I think. You've got Lego 2K Drive, which, if you like racing games and you like Lego, that's maybe the thing for you. Quick very side note, Gray, the Enterprise D Lego model come through, so that'll be fun. I can't stand Lego, but I want an Enterprise model, so there we go.
I looked at it, and I'm just not into Lego anything, to be honest.
I'm going to bribe my nephew to build it for me, so...
My daughter wants to come say hi, and she just runs away, so okay.
Hi!
She's gone, she ran away.
She's shy. I'd be shy if I saw Grey as well, to be fair. In December the 23rd, we've got a couple of Fallout games. Fallout, the original game, and Fallout 2 on GOG. A lot of them come out on GOG, which we like, because that's, you know, good old games, digital rights free, and that's what we want. And last but not least, the last article I've got, I knew this was going to happen at some point. Remember the whole plagiarism thing with Bungie in the Marathon game? Yeah, so the artist whose designs were used in Bungie's Marathon without permission says the dispute has been resolved to my satisfaction. So basically what that means is that Scottish artist has basically been bunged some pennies and went, right, okay, what does it take to settle this? So he might actually be rent-free for a little while. He might be eating good for a little while.
I think for a long time, to be fair.
Yeah.
Okay, the little guy won for a change,
And it's not a guy, it's a gal, actually. So, Scottish artist with the name Hook, as in Captain Hook, put on their X account recently, the Marathon art issue has been resolved with Bungie and Sony Interactive Entertainment to my satisfaction. So basically, you can't say anything more because they've probably got you to sign an NDA and gave you, I don't know, £50,000 or something, £100,000. There you go. Go have fun. And they'll continue to be able to use the art. So this artist never thought they'd ever make as much money from this in their life as they now have. And that's the right way to do it, isn't it? Guys, surely, like, you've got to compensate the artist and not take it to court because you'd lose more money,
absolutely,
I guess.
So,
that is good to know. I would hope, I was kind of hoping Marathon would be canned because it just looks pants. Just can it and put your resources into continuing Destiny 3, please. Thank you. Another small tangent, but related to this, the latest sales of the Renegades DLC from Destiny 2 have not been doing well.
Okay,
you'll be not surprised there, yeah. Even though it's basically a Star Wars simulator DLC that's been added to it. I have got it. I will play it when I can. But yeah, I found that amusing. So yeah, in terms of news articles, that is me, Mr. Great Gamer.
Okie doke. We're going to stick with the game news in any case. And of course, I always talk about Witcher, so I'm going to talk about Witcher again. But this time, we're going to be kind of centering up on Witcher 4, which we all know is coming and we've seen the trailer and so forth. CD Projekt Red decided to make an announcement. They said they're going to hopefully stick to a 6-year time frame when it comes to the Witcher trilogy. So there will be 3 games. They'll all have Ciri as the main star. And they said that they've been very pleased with Unreal Engine 5. They said they've been using it actually for about 4 years. And they feel that it's been able to shave production time for what they need to get done. And I think for them to say that, then that's a nice feather in the cap for Unreal, because, you know, there's been articles too about Unreal going like, yeah, well, you know, Unreal can do this and this and it's not that great and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you're sacrificing the speed for not the quality, blah, blah, blah. But you know, CD Projekt Red's not going to sit there and go down in quality. I mean, they're known for, you know, what they for putting out like beautiful games, so they're happy with it. It looks like, for what I'm understanding here, and we all heard this before, but that the game's not going to come out, the first one, Witcher 4, won't come out probably before 2027. So it might could be at the end of 2027 or the beginning of 2028, and then supposedly 2 years later, the second, 2 years later, the third.
So 4, 5, and 6, the fourth one I'm working on at the moment is going to be mostly Siri based.
Yeah. I mean, it is Siri based. That's it's all right. Okay. Just like Geralt in the first three, now it's Siri.
Okay.
They pretty much are banking on the fact that Geralt will be making appearances.
So yeah, 100%.
Not a lot, but he'll be coming in for like maybe a couple missions or something, and
yeah,
like that with Siri, and probably in all three games. Oh yeah, you got to do that, man.
You have to.
But I think if they can stick to that schedule, that would be neat, because then at least you're kind of knowing what it's going to be. So you play Witcher 4 and you know you don't have to wait, you know, 4 years, 5 years or whatever to get a game out. 2 years later, boom, 2 years later, boom. So I would assume they're probably already doing pre-production for the next two and, you know, trying to lay the groundwork, so to speak. So that's good for, you know, Witcher fans like me. And so there'll be some interesting things coming down the pike. Another article I read I thought was interesting is the title got me. It said Battlefield 6 low poly rival is back, and I'm going like, low poly rival. So I looked at it and I understand what they're talking about. There's a game, I don't know, I haven't played it, but it's called Battle Bit Remastered. Have you guys seen anything about this?
I heard the name, but I don't know what it is really.
Well, BattleBit is kind of what they said, a low polygon version of Battlefield 6. At first, I'm sitting there going like, well, I don't know. And I saw the picture, you know, and it's kind of weird. It's like it's somewhere between a blocky looking thing that I wouldn't like and the best stuff, like somewhere sitting in the middle, if that's possible. When I watched the video on it, I was surprised at actually how well it was running and how well it was performing. But it should if it's lower polygon. And I'd like to try it just for the heck of it, because it looked better than I thought it would. And I even thought I kind of liked it in which is rare for me, you know, to like something like that. But if you get a chance to, you know, go on YouTube, take a look at the video, because it's pretty interesting. But anyway, so BattleBit Remastered is one of the best FPS games for the price. And they're getting ready to drop a new DLC, I think, or I don't know if they're charging for it or what, but it's called Operation Overhaul. And it released originally, the game, BattleBit, Early Access June 2023. It's got 78,000 Steam reviews backing it up 2 years later.
Wow.
And it is one of the more popular multiplayer shooters in recent memory. So it's not a piker. It's definitely up there. They said, for those calling it dead and having moved on to Battlefield, that's fine. Your PC can handle it. BattleBit, and this person's honest opinion, is the alternative big battle FPS simulator for those whose rigs can't keep up with the modern multiplayer shooter. They also say that BattleBit, because of the style of the game, is you can put twice as many people on the battlefield than you can with Battlefield 6. They said that the minimum requirements still support a GTX 970.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's going good. Way back, man.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So I thought that was kind of cool. So for people that, you know, want to get into it. And I also heard the game, I think, is only $30, I believe.
That's
so
impressive.
There's that, too, you know, being a little cheaper. So, I was a little surprised, as I don't go for that kind of, you know, stuff like that, and you guys know that. But this, it was very weird watching it. It was like, it just looked better, but it didn't look the way it wasn't the high end, but it wasn't really bad either. So it was like very weird. It almost seemed like, I can't say Fortnite, because it doesn't look like cartoon per se, but it looked like a realistic, maybe a little more of a realistic version of Fortnite. I don't know if that makes sense. But watch the video. You guys will tell me next week, maybe, because I think it was interesting, put it that way. So we'll see where it goes.
That is interesting.
The other thing I like, and I've been trying to point out here and there once in a while, is try to focus on a game a little bit that is not the norm and is more indie. And apparently I was checking an article out about this game called AILA. It's A period, I period, L period, and A period. And apparently this is a game that I thought the idea of it or the premise of it sounded kind of interesting. Apparently it's a game that, or the basic of the game is that you are a player that is a tester for VR. But it's a horror game, so you're a tester for VR, and apparently the VR is going to like come to life, so to speak, and start invading your turf for real, apparently, and drive you crazy. And some of the graphics on it look very good, actually. It looks very similar to, in some ways, to Resident Evil in a way. Some of the enemies and stuff. You're poking around outside in the forest, inside houses and stuff, and these enemies are coming after you, kind of a zombie-ish kind of thing. But I thought that premise was pretty cool. So it's kind of like, you know, is it a foreboding of what's to come, you know, or something? But they said that, and I really think for an indie player coming up with it, it's pretty good. And this is supposed to be an inexpensive game, again, because it's indie. So I'm hearing, again, you know, the $30 range and stuff. And, you know, I think more and more games like this, if they have decent quality, people are going to buy them because they're not going to pay the kind of prices for the bigger games. Yeah, it says here, usually $30, but there's a 20% discount until December 9th, which is what, today?
Tomorrow. Really?
So yeah. See, people listening to this might be a little late on the 20% off, but if you guys want to jump, you can probably.
Is it on Steam? Is it? Yeah.
Steam. Well, it's on Steam, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X, XS. That is. So you know, and okay. I was impressed. It did look kind of cool. It's basically a psychological horror and survival horror kind of game, which you know we've seen. But the premise is a little different, so that's kind of cool. So might be something to look out for. And I'll try to see if I can find a good indie game like that to keep on pushing it out there. Not just because indie games should be noticed more, but because they're not expensive. You know, and with people not wanting to pay the $60. See, I'm already thinking old now. It's 70 and 80 bucks.
Even
you know,
90.
I mean... Yeah, and so when you're seeing and a lot of indie games like this that's $30, they don't have special editions. so you're never going to pay like, you know, $20 more for a special edition or anything. Look at the games. I don't know where they came up with the name. I think I could have come up with something better than that.
I'm certainly interested and intrigued with BattleBit. If there was a good price in that one, I'd maybe be cool, but don't know about the VR game. It's a good price. It's a cracking price. But VR game, well, VR type games like that, or themed, are not as popular, really. But it's a good price. It's a very good price. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah. So fair that's kind of interesting. So that's it for my take on the gaming news. Did you guys want to bring up anything else before?
I have nothing. So
No. Mr. Man can't join us this week. He'll be here hopefully soon. So we'll see.
Any games you're playing? I've been so busy playing around with a ChatGPT and trying to build something that it's like.
Oh, you're in that AI rabbit hole, mate. You're in the rabbit hole.
Yeah, he is. I've been playing
I'm really enjoying it, though. I'm learning a lot of stuff that I never knew before, which is kind of neat. I just took it on as a personal challenge, but now it's getting to the point where it's really getting. I'll talk more about it when the time comes, but it's getting very huge now. Like if I get it, when you go into, I don't know if you guys know this, but when you go into ChatGPT or some of these other ones, the reason I use ChatGPT is because of the bunch they consider it to be the best for coding, and that's what you need for this. Yeah. So as you're going into the chat, and a lot of people never run into this problem, but as you do more with files and upload and test and la la la. The chat will get full. And when the chat gets full, the chat starts to make mistakes. It starts to not think right. It starts to remember forgetting the rules that it's supposed to go by. And if it gets really bad, it literally will crap out. And that's the end of that. But all you have to do is start a new chat. And this may be helpful for people out there that maybe are involved in some of this stuff. You literally have to tell. And this is the weird thing about a lot of AIs. it's almost like I've said this before, but when you go up to somebody and you say, like, well, why didn't you tell me that? That would have been really good to know. Well, you didn't ask me. That is so much like an AI. An AI will make certain suggestions to you that maybe you hadn't thought of, which is cool. But unless you're pretty literal with it, it just, like, I got into a loop more than once where I spent almost the whole day telling it to do certain things that I needed done, and it just was mistake after mistake after mistake. And then I finally went, I said, I mean, have you forgotten the rules? I mean, what's going on here? It didn't forget any rules, and it wasn't full enough to make it act weird. It was the fact that there was a deep down mistake that had happened previous, and it kept on trying to work through it instead of solving it. And so I finally said, you know what? I've recognized this pattern before. I said, I'm going to, you know, delete the chat and we're going to start this again. Yeah. But before I did it, and this again, this is all learning by mistake and stuff like that, which is, you know, I said, I want a full summary detailed of everything that went on, including and especially all the mistakes. And it pumped out the whole thing and all the problems and whatever happened and why and blah, 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 blah. And then we included that into a file and went to the new chat. Another thing for people out there is when I keep saying new chat, if you're working on a project like this, your chat will fill up and it will slow down. There's no doubt about it. And you have to tell the AI or ChatGPT in this case to build a support file, a comeback file, a backup in a sense. It's not the same as a backup in what we're used to. But basically what they do is they go through everything you've done in that chat and put it all into a concise form that it understands. And so essentially you take that and then you cut and paste into a new chat. And I'm not even totally understand how this works, but it will look at it, read it, and it instantly knows where you left off, what happened before, and then you continue from that point. And it's I've gotten to the point now where, because it's getting very, very, very big now, I fill up a chat way faster than I used to, because there's so many moving parts going on now. And that's okay, you know. So I did a little thing, and this is another little clue for people that want to mess with this. I'm sitting there thinking, like, is there a way that it could warn me before I get to the point where it's going to be a hassle or a waste of time or destructive, you know, whatever. So I told him, I just said, do you have some kind of like a watchdog that can keep track of this? And of course, it comes back and goes, and well, why didn't you ask me that before? Of course we do. Yeah. And they go like, yeah, we have a watchdog. And I said, let's call it watchdog. I said, yeah, thanks. I'm like I came up with a name and it goes, yeah, let's go along with that one. So, but the amazing thing is it did build its own internal watchdog program. And it did what I said. I said, I want you to have a yellow and a red zone. I said, the yellow is cautionary. When we reach the yellow, you got to tell me. You have to stop. You have to tell me. And periodically, I want you to tell me how we're doing with it. And when we get to the yellow zone, we are going to start the backup for the next chat. And it does it. And it's really saved me a lot of time, because it'll say, like, well, we're getting to the danger zone, the watchdog says. And I go, oh, okay, let's go. You know, do your magic and back up and then... And speaking of backups, I'm glad I got like backup drives, because everything I create or it gets created, even the stuff that was a mistake, I organize into folders and put it in, back it up. I've never had this many folders in my life for one project. I've got so much shit. It's just unbelievable. But wow. It's a lot of fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm really It's a blast, and if anybody wants to know more about it, you know, you can get involved with us or ask a question.
Enjoy your Discord and ask questions.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, we're going to do the EGB quiz again, and this time it's multiple choice.
Yay.
So, you know, you guys have better fun at this. Some are easy, you know, some are harder, I guess, but, you know, we'll see. All right, number one, what was the aim of the Super Mario Brothers video game? Was it A, save the princess, B, run a successful business, C, build the best house, D, manage a city?
A, are we having a laugh?
I know what it is, but I'm just going to go for B because I want to see Mario run a pizza parlor. So I know it's A, but I'm just going to say B.
Jesus.
That means Trevor would be the only winner because it is A.
Yeah, I don't care. I just say B because I want to.
Wow. Hans feels that sorry for me that I never get any right, that he's literally just, wow. Hans, that's low, mate. That is low.
That's, right, yeah.
Well, the next question is going to be a wee bit more involved and maybe even interesting, too, if I can find my paper. Oh, there it is. What classic PC game popularized the WASD movement controls? And this is funny because I never knew this. I just took for granted, like, yeah, whatever, WASD, right? But apparently it became popular with one game and changed history for, you know, how we do all this stuff with WASD. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to tell you the games and you tell me which one. A is Quake, B is Doom. That would be like the old Doom, not the new Doom, obviously. C is Wolfenstein 3D, and D is Unreal Tournament.
Oh, it's not Doom, Quake. But it could be one of the other three.
It's Quake, 100%.
Okay.
Quake, Unreal, or Quake? Quake is...
You left Quake, Wolfenstein 3D, or Unreal
Quake
Tournament?
Quake is more popular than Unreal, more iconic, so I have to say Quake edges it for me.
Okay, Quake. And guess what? You both are right.
Yeah.
It was Quake.
That's a good question.
I want to read this to you because this is a little backstory that I had seen when I saw the answer to this. Uh-huh. And it says apparently this guy Dennis Thresh Fong recognizes the world's first professional gamer is widely credited with the popularizing the WASD keyboard movement control scheme for PC gaming in the late 1990s. Especially through his dominance in Quake tournaments. His efficient left-hand WASD setup combined with right-hand mouse became the standard, imitated by other players and eventually adopted by developers. So there you go. This dude is the one that actually created and it got popular. So I never really thought about it. I thought it was kind of like a no-brainer, but this guy actually is the one that... can you imagine like the first time you see this guy playing Quake and he's going... Why was you doing that? I don't understand. You know, and stuff. And he says, yeah, let me show you. And, you know, so there you go.
That's pretty cool.
Last question. Yeah, Hans sounds real. Thanks, Hans. I'm glad you find that interesting. All right. This is a tough one unless you... this is going to be tough unless you played Skyrim. I'll tell you that right up front. In The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim, what's the first dragon shout you learn? When you play that game and your character has to learn different dragon shouts throughout the game. Now, I will give you the choices. A is Yawl or Yol. B is Fus or Fuss, whatever. C is Lok or Lok. D is Fiam. So Yawl, Fuss, Lok, Fiam. A, B, C, D.
I know what it is, but I'm just going to wait for Trev here.
Yeah, let's wait for Trevor.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a dragon by the toe.
By its
tail. C.
It's a. It's a. Is it A or B? What was the number here? It's B, Fus Roda.
And ding, 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 Hans is right. It is B, Fus, 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 whatever.
Yeah, it's actually Fus Roda or something that you learn, so.
I had to think about it too because I remember going through all that and having to learn it and stuff, and then remember when to use it and stuff. But that's pretty cool.
See,
so that
we
ends
equaled
that
now.
And, sorry,
we equaled now, me and Trev. So, all because the first one was too funny not to answer. So,
a little a really quick thing that's actually might be useful to some people. Mm-hmm. Some of the games on Epic Games to give away for free are crap, and some of them are good actually. At the moment, they're giving away Jackbox Party Pack Volume 4. And the Jackbox games, if you've never played them, they are bloody brilliant. They're hilarious. Good, yeah. They're good for social events. So I'm going to download that and use that for work for the social event. Yes. Well done,
Trev. I lose track sometimes. I have at least 10 to 12 Jack games on Steam.
I should maybe get an Epic account at some day. So.
There's a lot
you
of them.
An Epic
I was surprised.
Account.
Nope. I don't use Epic.
Oh,
all those
free
games,
the free
man.
Games, man. That's all I do it for.
Yeah, I have Steam, and that's about it.
I use Epic only for Fortnite when I play on my grandson. Yeah, that's
okay. Isn't Fortnite on Steam anymore, or didn't they used to be on Steam at some point? Fortnite?
No, it's always
they've never been
Epic.
There. Okay, no, see.
But I think it's coming to Xbox if I remember correctly. That was a big
announcement. Oh no, I'm thinking of Rocket League. Sorry, no, Rocket League was on Steam in days, and now not anymore. Yeah.
That was a game that I when I first heard about Rocket League, I'm going like, right, this game's going nowhere. It sounded so totally stupid, and then all of a sudden, boom, and I'm like,
that
wow,
that really popped off, and it's still popping off. Eh?
Yeah, and when you watch people that are actually good at it, it's like, wow, it's pretty good, man.
Yeah, I suck at that game.
Go
ahead.
You can download the Jackbox Party Pack for Mac and PC, so I don't think I'll get any work done now.
Great.
Ben is watching us from work, I'm joking.
Mac users are getting some love lately, so...
The only reason I have so many is because at the time, I think, Steam was doing a pack sale where they were doing like 4 in a pack, 5 in a pack, you know, or whatever. This is a long time ago, and so I picked them up. But I have to go back and see which ones I have. I don't even remember. But I don't even know how many there are. I was surprised that there was that many. And supposedly there's more than that now. And I'm like, man.
No ending.
They keep coming out with some new stuff, but you don't really hear about it all the time. You know, it's not like a AAA announcement like, hey, we're jacking the box. And
Good fun games.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, definitely. All right, well, that kind of concludes the show. We're a wee bit shorter than usual, but we got a good over 90 minutes here.
But we got a 59, you don't worry.
Yeah, there you go. So we will be back next week, and at that point, I'll finally have my 5090 in the mail, so we'll see what's going on with that. They can't fit it in the box, though, because it's so big. No, I can't. So we will see you next week. I really appreciate it, guys. Say bye-bye to everybody out there.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us. Bye.
I don't want to set the world on fire. I just want to start a flame in your heart.